I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Digress to the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline. Hello, Tim.
Hey, Tim.
So basically what I'm picking up here is Les Levine is actually the major guest for an Ohio State situation. I'm just sort of the sprinkles on top of the ice cream.
Yes. Yes, that's it. Because okay. What do you know about Ohio State football?
Bingo, bongo, you're right.
You are the Helen Thomas of Ohio State football. I want you to know that.
Hey, thanks a lot, brother.
Although she's not with us anymore, is she? So I guess that wouldn't be good.
Exactly.
At least you get to ask the first question.
I could probably get you fired for making that kind of comment in this day and age.
Why? She got to ask the first question? You should always get to ask the first question. That's what it is.
Yeah, but I'm not female. So, you know, that's my point. You know, just run them down the line. Now. I could build it up into a case with a good lawyer, I think.
All right, Tim, there's no case here. We're not going down that road. Listen, here's my point for you. What is JT Barrett going to look like tomorrow night? And you broke the story about the surgery, so bravo to you. Help us understand what this quarterback situation is going to look like tomorrow night.
He is the reigning Big Ten quarterback of the year. He's won it 3 out of the last 4 years, which is a record. It's only a seven-year award, and Ohio State quarterbacks have won it 5 times, which tells you the impact of the Urban Meyer era. But I digress, of course. You know, it's hard to believe that if he is 100% ready to go, that he won't start. But, you know, that remains to be seen. All Urban Meyer really said on his radio show yesterday is that he's going to play. He's been cleared. And whether that means Dwayne Haskins Jr. will start the game and they hope pick up like he left off last week at Michigan remains to be seen, or whether JT will get the start and Dwayne Haskins Jr. might get an early look remains to be seen. I don't know the answers to those questions. And I don't think we're going to find out at 3:30 from Urban Meyer the answers to those questions. He likes the conundrum wrapped up in a mystery, I think, in this one.
What do we know about the photographer on the sideline today that we didn't know last week or earlier in the week?
I don't know. I mean, to be honest with you, the last several days I haven't really even pursued it because I don't really, to me, it, Even J.T. Barrett portrayed it as an incidental contact situation, accidental and incidental. Maybe the guy should or shouldn't have been walking through there at that point. But, you know, past that, after J.T. also reveals that he had a similar kind of a – he had this floating piece of meniscus or cartilage, whatever you want to call it. You know, that's still not even clear in his knee way back even before the season opener against Indiana, but they were able to – push it back into place and he, you know, to relieve the hitch in his get along. Well, you know, it's almost like a matter of time before that was going to happen again, one way or the other. Bottom line is, he got fixed just before he had to go in for the first Ohio State possession, and he played on it all the way until that little twist going down late in the third quarter. So, you know, make of it what you will.
Yeah, I know the story got downplayed after Monday, but, you know, when Urban was so upset after the game last week, and then you saw the TMZ video, and Tim, I know you've kind of turned the page. I've heard a lot of people turn the page on it, but to me, it didn't seem that crazy that something odd would happen. I mean, Tim, I sat there and watched members of the Ohio State marching band punch guys from Michigan in the kidney as they were trying to warm up back in my day. I mean, it's not like, and Tim Biakapatuka, remember the helmet incident? It's not like it's that far-fetched that something crazy and bizarre could happen in that series. True.
Right, but, you know, but the TMZ video is the Zapruder film without the actual shot.
That's true. That is true.
JT looking for a place to warm up, and then JT flipping off it. We already knew all of that, you know.
What right.
we still don't have a picture of is, you know, in my opinion, is the guy that did it. But number three, you know, this conspiracy theory stuff, you know, that means that whoever that guy was, he had to know that JT had a problem with his knee and that he could bump into him and cause the problem to be exact. I mean, that's really presupposing a lot of stuff, which I think it was and JT thinks it was an accident, incidental contact, and, I don't want to say play on, but, at this point,
I got it.
Point, it's water under the bridge. Or,
yeah, but the guy could have come. The guy could have come forward.
Water under the dam.
Guy could have come forward, though, if that's all it was.
Maybe he didn't even know he did it. I've seen those guys walk by now. They're out of control a little bit.
Yeah, I've had that happen to me a million times in post, on the field and stuff like that, you don't even know. You don't even know who's, running into you and stuff. It just happened. Here was Urban Meyer's point, though. It was, yes, it happened. And, yes, Urban Meyer was upset about it. And, yes, he'd like to know who did it. But his major complaint was so many people being in and around that area, credentialed, et cetera. That was his major complaint, is that it should not be that crowded.
Right.
You're right.
All right.
Now, I don't know about this, but a birdie told me whoever that camera guy was, he was wearing like $13 khakis. I don't know. I mean, I'm just kidding.
Would those have been on sale?
They were on
sale. Would that have been the retail price?
No, right. They were Black Friday sale price, and then you got like 30% off if you had some of their cash. I'm just saying.
I did not see that guy at Cabela's on Friday, whoever that was, I will tell you that.
Okay. All right, help us out here with what this weekend coming up here, because you talk about too many guys on the sidelines. It looks to me like there's too many teams for too less amount of qualifying teams for the playoffs. What needs to happen for Ohio State here, especially in regards to Alabama?
Ohio State needs to win, number one.
Well, of course.
In winning, Ohio State will have beaten what the College Football Playoff Committee, the August College Football Playoff Committee has deemed to be the number four team in the country this week, Wisconsin. So, and it's a team that's unbeaten, Wisconsin is. So Ohio State will have finished out after what happened in Iowa, the roadkill in Iowa, for want of another word, will have finished out with four straight wins over Michigan State, which is the bounce-back team of the Big Ten this year, over Illinois, which is the flat-on-the-pavement team of the Big Ten this year, and over their arch-rival, Michigan, which basically made that a win-or-bust game last week, and, of course, they busted. And then, of course, they will have beaten Wisconsin. Alabama, over its last three games of the regular season, will have struggled to have beaten Mississippi State on the road, which Mississippi State turned out to be maybe not even an average team, medium-average team in the SEC, mercilessly beat Mercer. Why is Mercer on their schedule in the 11th game of the year, an FCS school, and will have lost to Auburn, soundly been beaten by Auburn, its arch rival, on the road. So Alabama will have finished the regular season and not played for a championship, and its last game it lost. Ohio State will have finished the regular season with 11 wins over FBS schools and will have won its last four in a must-win situation. Alabama will have won 10 games over FBS schools and lost in a must-win situation. I don't think there's a debate there. The only thing, the fly in the ointment, obviously, or the sty in the eye, obviously, is the 31-point loss at Iowa, which obviously, some people on the committee are not going to let go gracefully into that good night. So I would put Ohio State in over Alabama, because I've been saying all along, even said on y'all's show, if you took Alabama's schedule resume and put like Washington State there instead of Alabama, we would not be having this discussion.
Where does the Big Ten rank as far as conferences? Because I hear this left and right, the Big Ten's the best conference. And to me, it's mind-boggling to think that the Big Ten could conceivably get knocked out of it.
Yeah, I think if Wisconsin wins, it's in.
I agree with you on that, too, but it's just...
I don't think there's any debate there. If Ohio State wins, it'll have two losses, so it will be in that line of beggars, the beggars line of teams with one or two losses who think they still deserve to be in it. The Big Ten, I'm trying to remember the rankings right now, the college football playoff rankings, but the Big Ten's either number one or number two with number of teams in there. Ohio State will have wins over Penn State, Michigan State, And if it beats Wisconsin over Wisconsin, you know, that are in there. So, there you go. You know, we'll have a loss to Oklahoma, and then we'll have a loss to Iowa, you know, unexpected. Almost every team out there, with a few exceptions, has had a moment it would like back. Obviously, the moment Ohio State would like back, actually the 30 minutes Ohio State would like to have back were the last 33 minutes on the clock from Iowa.
Tim, if you look at Ohio State and what they've done, if you threw in the top four, if you move Wisconsin out and you put Ohio State in, you think they have a chance to win no matter who they'd match up with?
Yeah, I think they match up pretty well. I think they match up better. For example, this is the irony of it. If Clemson wins and Ohio State gets in, it's a really good chance it's going to be Clemson versus Ohio State in the semifinal, a rematch. I think Ohio State is much better equipped to play Clemson's defense this year than it was a year ago because they, you know, lo and behold, voila, have discovered a true passing game. By that, I mean real routes, whatever you want to, you know, say. You've got receivers stepping up, et cetera. You got slot receiver like K.J. Hill coming through in the clutch. You know, right on down the line, I think they're better. I think they match up better. I think they will have a shot at anybody in that current top four just because of, I think, offensively, they will present problems to anybody in that top four. You know, defensively, you know, who knows who's going to make a play in that regard one way or the other. I mean, the biggest disappointment, in my opinion, for that Ohio State loss at Iowa was giving up 48 points defensively to that team, which, as I told y'all that famous story when I walked in, when Ohio State had decimated, had beaten Michigan State like it beat Rutgers. Well, the first question out of my wife's mouth was, how come Iowa only got 6 first downs at Wisconsin today? I said, sweetheart, I will never be able to explain that.
All right, Tim, help me with the scenario for Ohio State fans that are sitting here. What do we want to happen this weekend? How do we want this to play out? Obviously, Ohio State beat Wisconsin. That's easy.
Number one, you want Ohio State to beat Wisconsin, but then number two, they can win, you know, convincingly, whatever that term is. You know, I think a win over the number four team in the CFP is a good win, no matter how it comes. So you win, you beat the lone unbeaten Power Five team left out there, which is Wisconsin. Then you see Clemson win. I think you see Clemson win. What's that term? Chalk. I think you see Clemson win. I think if Auburn wins, that's good for Ohio State. And it really, even if Georgia wins, because that would give Auburn a third loss. And if you see Oklahoma win.
All right, so I've written all this down. All right, last question for you, because we're going to debate this again in a second. Look, we're talking all about, you know, Ohio State trying to get in, not trying to get in. Is it time to expand to 8 or 6 or 16? Should they expand or leave it at 4?
I think the easy way out is to expand to 8 because that would make it easy on everybody. You wouldn't even need a committee. I think the 4, the great thing, guys, the reason we talk about college football, a lot of what we talk about college football that gives grist for your talk show meals is the debate about who's better. And a lot of times it is conjecture or someone else's opinion, which used to be the case in the polls when it was just the polls deciding it. I think leaving it at 4 does two things. Number one, it continues the grist for the mill, which, and number two, 3 playoff games for major college football teams who don't have waiver wires, I'm telling you, those are grind them out games, brothers. I mean, it sounds really good on paper, but, you know, every team we just talked about, if they lose a couple of players, key players, they are not the same football team. I know that goes for the pros, too, but the pros can always go get, you know, the Browns can always go get Eli Manning, you know. But I digress there, but I liked it. The college football teams, you're left with who you've got, and that would be a real grind for college football teams, I think, physically.
All right, Tim. One other point here, and Wonder Boy brought this up, too. We probably should be rooting for, and I know this is kind of deep, probably rooting for Boise State over Fresno State because Fresno State's 25 this week, and they played Alabama, and that would give Alabama another a win over 25 team. Top 22.
And what a joke that would be that if that's what the difference would be.
If it came down to Boise State, Fresno State,
yeah,
right?
I think this committee's going to take very much in confidence what Ohio State has done.
All right, Tim.
What a remarkable comeback. And doing it with your backup quarterback, winning by double digits at Michigan, that was a major moment. Obviously, Clemson did not get that done at Syracuse way back on week 5 or 6, and they were getting beat even before their starting quarterback left the game. That's a game that's just going under the rug with everybody. I thought that was a major loss for Clemson, which everybody's just going, well, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. What was your – just quickly, because we do this to end everyone, your prediction?
I picked Ohio State 31-20 because, you know, those look like good numbers last week.
Fair enough, Tim. Thank you. We appreciate your time. Of course, we'll read you dispatch.com up here in Northeast Ohio and Dispatch. We'll read the Dispatch in Central Ohio when we get down there. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Tim.
Back to the start of the show, Wes Levine. See you guys.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.